Hello and welcome back to Out of the League with me, Alex Ewing. It was the weekend of fours in the Skrill Premier as four teams scored four goals in four different games. Hyde came close to that elusive first win of the season, and even scoring three goals away from home was not enough to beat Dartford. Finally, Cambridge continued their unbeaten run with a 2-0 win at home to Salisbury. On today's show, we bring you interviews with Halifax captain Danny Lowe, and Michael McCann is of course back to round up the Skrill North and the Skrill South. So to start it off, I caught up with Danny Lowe on Saturday before the Welling game to have a chat with him about how he thinks the Halifax season has gone so far. So Danny, Halifax are 12th in the table and 4 points off the playoffs. How do you think your season's been so far?
Very well, probably better than we expected, to be honest. We've won obviously six, lost five and drawn four games, so we're sitting quite nice on the table and happy how things have gone so far.
So at the start of the season, what were your like pre-season aims? You just said there that it's gone better maybe than you expected. So what were you kind of hoping for?
Well, the season objective, and which still remains, is come the end of the season we still want to be in this league. That's remained the goal from the outset and it still remains that now. Anything else, and if we can keep pushing up the table, and that's just an added bonus. But the objective is, even now, not getting carried away, is to make sure we're in this league come the end of the season.
Oh, that's fair enough. Obviously, the season didn't get off to the best of starts for you. A 5-1, a 5-1 defeat to actually my hometown club, Cambridge United. I was there. So, firstly, what sort of effect did that result have on the lads?
Obviously, the start of the game we started very well and we were looking comfortable, obviously, then with the two red cards, one for me and one for Matty.
Yeah.
The game changed, so we're really against a side like Cambridge at full time. It was just about damage limitation, really. It probably just rallied the lads a little bit more and took the positives out the start of the game before the red cards, to be honest, because we know we was on top and we looked the better side. So it kind of just brought us all together and made us realise that if we can keep 11 men on the pitch and try and perform somewhere near like that, we'll be able to compete in any game that we're playing.
I have to say, everyone who I was standing with at the game, like you just said there, said that you were the better side. You got that early goal with Lee Gregory, and obviously you hit the headlines though with the dressing room incident. What's your take on that? Should there really be cameras in the dressing room, or should that be left as a private affair?
I mean, for me personally, I'm going to say that anyway, but for anyone that gets sent off, not just me, or a bad injury, I don't see why anyone needs to see that while the game's going on. Before the game, maybe. After, you know, like if the FA Cup scenes, if you're all celebrating, yeah. But people ultimately tune in and go to games to watch the football. So yeah. If someone's got sent off and emotions are high, or someone's got a bad injury, then I don't see why anyone would be interested. And I don't personally think it should be on, obviously, while the game's going, so... But that's just my opinion, I would say that, obviously.
The noticeable thing about your season this far so far has been the conflicting form from your home form and your away form. You're undefeated at home, but winless away. What's the issue here? Is there any idea what's going on?
Obviously, I think ill-discipline, probably, at the beginning of the season. Obviously, we've got two red cards at Cambridge, two away at Salisbury. And I just think that's the way the luck's gone at the moment. We've had so much belief and played well in most of the games away. Like Forest Green, they had a lot of possession, but we were the better side. We had better chances. Just, I don't know whether the full-time took a part in that and they scored in the last minute. It's hard to put a finger on, really, because it's becoming like a little bit like a stickler, if you like, the away form. But we've been playing well, really, in most of the games. It's just finding that first win, I think, and if we could get it anyway... possible, really, own goal, deflection, anything. It just kind of get rid of that little away form that everyone keeps mentioning.
So, looking back to last Saturday, what was your take on the Woking game? Are you gutted that wasn't the game that could have turned your season or your away form around?
Obviously, you look at it, without being disrespectful, because at the end of the day, we're new to this league, so we respect everyone that's obviously been in this league longer than us and a lot more experience. But obviously, you pinpoint games where you'd like to think you'd be able to pick up 3 points, preferably, as opposed to places like Luton and Forest Green and Cambridge. So, obviously, we looked there and we thought it was a big chance for us to obviously break the duck, if you like. And it wasn't to be, though. I mean, the positives, we took a clean sheet again and we got a point. But, yeah, we do need to start picking up the away wins sooner rather than later, to be honest.
OK, so moving on to today's match. You're at home to Welling, who are 3 points above you, but 6 places above you. Does that show you how tight the league is at the moment? And what are you expecting from today's game?
Just expecting a tough game, to be honest. Obviously, they're on a good run at the moment, must be doing things right, and I am confident. We're obviously a zone form, as you mentioned, we're unbeaten at home, so we'll be going into this game confident that we can obviously get the 3 points. But the league is a tough league anyway. Obviously, a few part-time, a lot of full-times. But I think the results have thrown up some surprises where nobody would predict since the start of the season, to be honest. I mean, we lost narrowly to Forest Green in the last minute, and then Dartford beat them 5-2. So some of the results have just, like, even Luton's results have been up and down. And these are teams that you'd expect to be, like, pushing for winning the league or in the top two come the end of the season. So I think it just shows you that it's a competitive league, and it's just about who turns up on the day and gets it all right and obviously does the business on the day.
Well, it's fair to say that Halifax certainly did the business on Saturday, beating Welling 3-0 at the Shay. So, as I said at the start of the show, it's been the weekend of fours in the Skrill Premier, as 4 teams scored 4 goals in 4 different games. So let's have a roundup of those results. Luton beat Tamworth 4-3 away, and what an incredible effort from the Luton fans, taking over 1,000 to Tamworth. Dartford scored 2 late goals to beat Hyde 4-3, and I still have to feel sorry for that poor high side who remain winless. Kidderminster had their second successive 4-1 win this week at home to Lincoln. And Gateshead beat Early Flyers Nuneaton at Nuneaton 4-1. So get in contact with us with what your top result was of the weekend. News just breaking as we record this podcast, and that's that Dave Hockaday, the Forest Green Rovers manager, has left the club by mutual consent. Hockaday had a very tough task at Forest Green Rovers with the amount of money that was being ploughed into the club. If it didn't look like they were going to be promoted, I think it was inevitable that he would lose his job. However, a run of 4 defeats really proved too much for both the board and presumably himself, as it was a mutual decision. So it's sad to see Hockaday leave, but I'm sure he'll get another job soon. So, Forest Green fans, who do you want to see as your next manager? Obviously, you have a wide range of talented players at the club, but who's going to be able to steer you to promotion? Get in touch with us on Twitter at Out of the League, letting us know who you want in charge of your club for the rest of this season. It's time to take a look at the Skrill North and Skrill South. So here's Michael McCann to give you his review.
The Skrill South easily are 4 points clear at the top after a second-half goal from Jay Reason helped them beat Staines 1-0. However, Eastleigh have played 12 games whilst most sides around them have played 11. Sutton moved to third via a superb win over Bromley thanks to a second-half goal from Slabber, meaning Bromley are now on 22 points with Sutton just a point behind them. Western Supermare are fourth after a 5-0 thrashing of Concord, who were possibly more distracted by their FA Cup tie with Barnet next week. Diallo notched before half-time, whilst there were 5 different scorers, with 3 goals in the last 10 minutes. Dover had their third goalless draw of the season, this time with Haven. They have the best defensive record in the league, with just 7 conceded, though they have the second worst attack, with just 8 goals scored. Hayes and Yedding are still yet to draw, after going 2-0 up at half-time through Mitchell and Soares. However, Bishop Stortford came back to win 3-2 with a fantastic fight-back through Akirang, Church, and then a prestige goal in the 84th minute to hand them the victory. Stortford now have 20 points from 10 games and a fourth, with 2 games in hand on most sides around them. Ebbsfleet are just outside the Pluffs with 18 points, after a second minute goal from Long set them on their way to a 2-1 win over Gosport, who are now bottom with 5 points. Dorchester moved off the bottom with a fantastic 3-1 win at Maidenhead, with manager Simkin praising the fans for their support, saying that the players were able to feed off their backing. 2 goals in 2 first-half minutes and a good ship brace helping them to the win. Bore and Wood are in the last relegation spot after a 1-0 loss at Basingstoke. In the Skrill North, Hednesford remained top, showing character to come behind twice in drawing 2-2 at Workington, for whom Forest scored a brace. Altrincham joined them on 26 points though, after an excellent 1-0 win at home to Brackley, thanks to James Walshaw's 9th goal of the season. Breaching Brackley's defence is certainly an achievement, as they've only conceded 5, the best defence in the league. Altrincham overtook both Brackley and North Ferriby, who've played an extra game compared to the rest of the top five and were beaten 2-0 by Telford, thanks to goals from Gray and Phoenix. The game of the weekend undoubtedly came between Boston and Harrogate. Boston went 3-0 up in the first 28 minutes, thanks to a brace from Newsham and a goal from Weir Daly. However, Harrogate scored three times in the last 28 minutes, with goals from Hardy and Rowe within 3 minutes of each other, and then a controversial penalty from Southwell within 5 minutes to go, giving them a share of the spoils. This result means that Boston still can't break into the playoffs, with 22 points from 12 games. The ever-improving Stockport creep up the table, and are now 11th after a 2-2 draw with Gloucester. They had led twice, though goals from Moford and Rowling gave Gloucester a point. There was also an impressive attendance of 2,727. Stockport now lie 10 points from the playoffs, but there's still time for this gap to be closed. Solihull remain quietly impressive and are still unbeaten, with 23 points from 11 games. They are 5th after a superb 3-2 win over Gainsborough showed the character in their squad. Taylor, in the 82nd minute, had looked to have given Gainsborough the win, though a 3-minute brace from Beswick turned the game on its head to give Solihull not just 1 point, but all three. All the sides in the bottom four drew, with Oxford and Worcester sharing a goalless draw. Meanwhile, Guiseley drew 1-1 with Histon after Johnson had given them the lead, but McDonald pulled a goal back to give Histon a point. One other stat that must be noted is that Elliot Durrell recorded another assist this week and now has 13 goals and 7 assists for the season. Surely Football League and Squirrel Premier clubs will be watching on and considering possible bids in January with form like this. That was your roundup of the Squirrel North and the Squirrel South with me, Michael McCann.
Thank you very much, Michael. Well, that's it for this week's show. Make sure you get in contact with us on Twitter at Out of the League to let us know what you think of the show and also if there's anything you want to hear. Tune in next week.